knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want to direct your attention particularly there in verse number 2 to the term unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Amen. Yeah. You know, having pastored all these years, been in the ministry this long, one of my concerns was in soul winning and witnessing and preaching on the street is I came across people who would make statements to folks. Like just say, if a person said, well, I don't think I'm ready, I don't understand, they'd say, well, just say the prayer and see what happens. Well, that's not salvation, amen? And that concerned me as a pastor because, you know, I was in that kind of sword of Lord era where you just go there and get them to pray any way you can. Yeah. Talk them into it, trick them into it, whatever you do. But God showed me something in His Word, amen, that is very important and shows me the importance of God's Word in this thing called evangelism and Christianity, amen, and growing. Why do we have so many churches, so many beliefs out there? My goodness. Pastor talked about coming across somebody praying the rosary. And you know that's empty. That's not going to help them a bit, amen. But how do they believe that? I've dealt with people at the door and who believe many different things. How in the world did we ever get so diverse? Well, Paul said in his day it was the same way, but only it's worse now today. Well, the way it is because so many people have lost their faith in God's Word. Amen? The Bible says in Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There's so many that hear the word of God and do not keep it. Your burden from God is to share the word of God, not to make him accept it. Yeah. It's God's work to save the soul. That's what I'm saying. And it's the key to this, I believe, is the word that I think is the most important word in the Bible to my estimation, and that's the word understanding. You know, my wife will often talk to me now, and I guess it's happened more since I matured. And she'll say something, and I'll look at her quickly, and she gets a little upset because I don't understand what she's saying or why. Amen? And then she's got to kind of explain it to help me understand because some of my gears don't run as fast as they used to. Amen? Well, you know, you can say something to somebody and they don't understand you, it's not going to help them a bit. Amen? Or also my hearing's going, so she'll say something and I'll go, yeah. And she'll say, you didn't hear me. And I'll have to admit it. There's something about being a husband makes you a liar sometimes, amen? But I'll have to admit it. No, what'd you say? She says, sometimes you're going to say yes to something bad if you're not careful, amen? But this thing of understanding, have you ever tried to explain something to someone and they didn't get it?
Yep.
They're not understanding it. You know, it's kind of like when I first bought our first diesel truck. I bought a book to repair it. One of those Chilton's manual books, you know. And I'd open it up and look to see if I wanted to do something. I'd look at it and their pictures never matched my truck. It never looked like that. The parts weren't there. I don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Or they'd say something, turn this, do jigger. And I didn't know what it was. Amen. So I ended up, you'd have to go and pay the big money to have it fixed. You know, you don't work on a diesel without having money because, man, they're expensive. Amen. What happened? Well, I didn't understand. I didn't have understanding. And I've witnessed to so many people who lacked understanding. And I could see it. They were just being kind, letting me get through the gospel. And that's good. And I would go through it. And if I could leave literature in the house, a gospel tract or a John Romans, I felt I was successful. But every now and then I'd come across someone that I knew the light was coming on. And they would listen. They may not get saved that day, but you could tell they were receiving, just like I did back in the when I was a truck driver. I never rejected those tracts. It just seemed too easy to me at the time. But I can see that they're receiving what I'm saying. Here's the key. The Bible, Jesus can save anyone.
Amen.
But he'll save no one that closes their heart to the Word of God.
Amen.
So you and I are looking for open hearts. Don't you wish they had a sign on their forehead that said, ready? Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you and I look on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart.
Amen.
That's why the Bible is so essential for churches and Christians to be able to share the Word of God with people and see them saved and see them grow. And the devil has tried to discredit his Word the best way he can. And he's been pretty successful at it, I'm afraid. Amen? Amen. Until today. Listen, my wife and I have been over 500 Baptist churches all over the country, 36 states. Amen? And some of them I go into, they all list as being King James Bible. But some of them I go into don't use it. Amen?
Amen.
And most of those are giving themselves over to a lot of this newfangled stuff. You ever heard that music they do now?
Yeah.
All the songs are to this. Dun da 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 dun da 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 dun da 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 dun da da da. And all they have to have is one line and repeat it 10 times.
Yep.
Something wrong with that. Every time I'm around that, creeps me out. The Holy Spirit grieves in me. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. It does. I mean, they're giving themselves those things and it concerns me because I'm seeing things coming into the churches that our brethren are in that is destroying the church as we know it. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't think everything new is bad, by the way. Amen. But some things sure are. No doubt about that. There's a principle of full understanding. If we consider the Bible's definition, you're near there. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, if you will, real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. And here the Bible will give us a little bit of a lesson on understanding and the importance of understanding. Look down at me in verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may, now understand this, give unto you the Spirit, small s, of wisdom. Now you know if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. That was when he come in and quickened your spirit, that was salvation. So what he's talking about is that God would give to you and to me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Now here's the result. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What's the riches of His glory? That is salvation, full and free. If you don't have confidence in your salvation, you're not going to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And yet I meet Christians all the time that fuss over their salvation from time to time. Amen? And what I like to say is, welcome to the human race. I had a man I greatly respect, still do, loved him, but back when I was first saved, I listened to him on the radio. He had died in 1978. His name was Oliver B. Green. And I listened to his program. It was wonderful, and still I believe it is. But he made a statement that I've had a problem with. And he and I will talk about it when I get to heaven. Amen. But he said, if you ever doubt, you're damned. Now here's the problem. You're in the flesh.
Yeah.
And if you put your Bible down, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you don't open your Bible and read your Bible and study your Bible, your faith's going to wane and weaken.
Yeah.
And then you will doubt.
Yeah.
Because that's human nature, you see. So the idea here is it's called enlightenment in Ephesians. It's called enlightenment in Job 38:36. He says, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? Job is making a statement with expecting an answer. God does it. It's God's work. Amen? It's not your intelligence. Man, I had it when I was with the Fellowship Track League. That's a track printing ministry in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was there 2 years as a the director of the ministry and his associate before he retired. And when I was there, a man got saved and he was in his 60s, but he was from South Dakota. And he couldn't read but single syllable words, but he could train those big draft horses. And he was a smart man. He just never learned to read. Didn't have to. So he could read single syllable words, and we'd go in the morning and we'd read the Bible for half an hour and then all pray. And when it came his turn to read a chapter, The guys got real antsy because they knew what was going to happen. I'd have to help him sound out every word that wasn't single syllable. Yet at that time, he was one of the greatest Christians I knew. You say, how could that be? Well, don't you know? God can do more through the Holy Ghost and His Word with single syllable words than the world can do with every PhD after their name. Amen? And that's what God did in His heart and in His life. Now, God gives us an example of the loss of enlightenment. Let me help you with this. Back in Luke chapter number 4. You know the story here in Luke chapter number 4. Jesus has come back to His hometown and has declared Himself to be the fulfillment of a portion of Scripture in Isaiah that He read. And got the people pretty upset. Amen? And in Luke 4, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says, all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Boy, I have seen that in the eyes of people when you witness. Amen? You know, any time I've gone street preaching and faced people coming up and chiding me and saying it was wrong, they were all people who claimed to be Christians. The world never did that. But there was a claim to be Christian. Come on, don't you know they're laughing at you? Well, I mean, yeah, they laughed at Christ. Why wouldn't they laugh at me? Amen? And they may do even worse. I never was threatened, never threatened with my life. I'm glad of that. I have no horror stories to tell you about somebody with a gun or anything. I've been told off a few times, but I was told off before I saved. So what's the difference? Amen? He says, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You know, they were going to throw him off a cliff. Can you imagine this big crowd pushing the Savior to the edge of the cliff? Then all of a sudden it says in verse 30, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. How did he do that? I remember the first time I read that, I thought, that doesn't seem to fit. What did he do? Turn around and beat them all up and walk through? No, he just turned around. What happened? He removed their understanding. When they stopped and they were going to throw him off the hill, he turned around and he removed their understanding. They said, hey, buddy, get out of the way. We're going to throw this guy off the hill. Move. Amen? And that's how he walked right through the midst of them. He removed their mind, if you will. Can you imagine after he left what they were looking around? Where'd he go? We got to throw this guy off the hill. Maybe they threw each other off. I don't know. Amen? But the result of understanding is what makes a saved man different than a lost man. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 2, you're probably pretty aware with, but you listen on purpose, I have it here. He says, my son, if thou will receive my words, that's what it starts with. The whole proverb is built upon, if thou will receive my words. Then everything else comes after that. You know that, amen? And he says, if you receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for it treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, and the only thing you have out of His mouth is the Bible in your hand.
Yeah.
I like to tell people the Holy Spirit's the workman, the Bible is His toolbox.
Yeah.
And what He produces is faith. Amen? Yeah. When I read those gospel tracts, I never rejected them. I pondered them. I thought about them. After a while, they made me miserable, waking me up in the middle of the night. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. And it's still alive today. Amen? Yeah. And that conviction drew me to query a man that I knew was a Christian about it. And he invited us to church. And I sat through two sermons. I could have got saved, but I was too backward to go forward. But the pastor came to our house knowing we were under conviction. And the minute he came in and sat down, I said, tell me again how to be saved. And he stuttered a little bit. He wasn't used to hearing that. And when he's done, he said, would you like to be saved? I said, sure would. He probably was wondering, there's no tears. Well, the tears had already been shed. And he said, yes, you can get saved. And I jokingly tell people I let my wife go first because she needed it more. But that's not true, folks. That's not true. But then we both were saved that night. What a blessing. Had two little girls, 3 and 5 years old, and we were saved. And my daughter was getting ready to start school, and the church we got saved in started a Christian school that year. So he never went to public school. Amen? And boy, that's good too. I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
Amen? And they actually graduated homeschool. Most of the time we homeschooled them. And they're now being able to function. They know how to put their clothes on and tie their shoes and go to the grocery store. So I guess they're raised all right. They didn't miss out on too much. Amen? You know, the Bible talks about wisdom, but it also talks about understanding. In Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." You know what understanding is to wisdom? It's what works are to faith, according to James. James says, faith without works is dead. Wisdom without understanding is dead because you can't apply it. Amen? I saw that principled in church when we were first saved. The church started a Christian school, as I said, which usually is a death knell in a lot of churches. They started a Christian school, and there was a faction there, a couple school teachers from the public school, and they were against it. We didn't know anything about that. I thought all Christians saved would be loving and everything was fine. So it was to our chagrin when we found out there was some kind of undertow going on in the church, and they had a ladies' meeting. Amen? And at the ladies' meeting, the ones who were against the school left the mid-place. Before, the ladies were all saying, "We love you and we know we understand all that." Well, they left, and one lady there that we looked at as being a pillar of the church, great wisdom, she had a lot of knowledge of the Bible, she just crucified them in the meeting. And my wife came home deflated and defeated, thinking somebody do that. Well, we since learned the spirituality is not based on people, it's on Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
So we've been through a lot of that stuff since, but you know what I mean. Amen? So we understand the fact, and that started a big problem. Well, we could have left then. We could have given up, but God wouldn't let us. Amen?
Yeah.
We stayed by the course, and God called me to preach, and of course we've been at it ever since to His glory. But this is the idea. That's wisdom without understanding. Amen? You can have all the head knowledge you want, but if it doesn't get to your heart, it's not going to do a thing. That's what I'm talking about. And that's God's work, not ours. Amen? If a person will read their Bible and study their Bible and be in church, I believe they'll grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They'll mature in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And be a servant of the Lord, whether it's at home, and which most will be a servant through the local church. Amen? Have you been in church very long? Have you ever been in any nasty meetings?
Yeah.
I know you haven't. Amen. We had a few. I was at the church in Indiana 6 months and they wanted to throw me out.
Uh-oh.
They had a big meeting. A bunch of them stood up. Well, we lost half the church. That was 15 people. But afterward, the Spirit was so sweet. It was really great. Amen. But I hate losing anybody. What in the world happened to people? How come they got saved? They got angry because I was hanging up mission letters. Now, I come to find out the one that did that, 2 years later, got cancer, and when he was in the hospital, another pastor went and led him to the Lord. How can I get mad at him? He wasn't even saved.
Yeah.
Amen? So I'm not. I praise the Lord, whatever. But I'm just saying, how do people get so cross? Well, you know how you leave a church. Well, let me help you with that, okay? I've been at this a long time. I'll tell you how you leave a church. One way is when they wheel you down the center here to put you in that big station wagon. Hey, that's one way. Amen?
Yeah.
Or the other one is when you walk down here to get into the U-Haul and go where you're moving to for whatever reason you need to. And of course, you wouldn't move there without knowing there's a good church there, right?
Yeah.
That's the two ways.
Yeah, come on, that's good.
You say, well, listen, if something happens I don't like, well, let me tell you who you serve. You serve the God that hung every galaxy in place.
Yeah.
By whom all things consist.
Amen.
The God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth of every mine. The God who knows all the stars and keeps them going, who provides the power for them. You have all the power as a child of God, if I can say this, at your knees.
Yeah.
As a matter of speaking. So what you do is the first thing you do. Let me give you some advice. First thing you do is stay off of that.
Yeah.
Okay? Amen. You don't need no one to support you. Unless God will support you. Now think of this now. You go to God and you fast and pray. And you say, God, this is a problem. Of course, you went to the pastor and he didn't give you any satisfaction. So you pray and you fast and you let God do what he's going to do. You know what he'll do? He'll change you or he'll change him. What would Baptist churches be like if everybody did that? Hey, man, I'll tell you one thing. Dallas and Fort Worth would have half the churches.
Yeah.
Because they all started by splits.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Amen. But all the half of them would be able to do more because they have more people. That's the trouble. If you could have a church without people, it'd be all right. But you can't. Amen. Because people are people. And you better know that they can. I have people that still in my heart I've pastored. They never leave. They break my heart when I see them out serving the devil and walking with you. Amen? It tears you up. But that's the way to leave a church. That was free, by the way. Amen? So just remember that if the day ever comes when you get angry, just go to the Lord and let him change either you or the pastor. And if he can't do that, you're serving the wrong God.
Yeah.
Boy, imagine what would happen. Wouldn't that be great? Wonderful thing. I'm sure heaven will be that way. Amen? Turn to Psalm 119. We'll finish up here at Psalm 119, if you will. And we're not, I'll comfort your heart, we're not going to read the whole chapter. Amen? Psalm 119, just a few verses here. Beginning with verse number 34. Psalm 119, and beginning of verse number 34. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, give me understanding. See, it has to come from God. And I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. See, what you and I can get comes from God. Amen? Look down at verse 73. Verse number 73 says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So, without understanding, you can't learn his commandments. You can get them here, but they will not affect your life. Amen? And that's what I'm afraid happens to a lot of people. They say an empty prayer with an empty heart and they try to serve God empty and it never works. Like the parable of the sower, you remember that? Four soils. Only one brought forth fruit. What happened to the other three? Well, one was the hard-packed ground next to the garden. And of course that seed wouldn't do anything because the ground was packed hard and the fowls of the air came and took it. The other kind was that on by the rocks, and the rocks wouldn't let it get sufficient roots, so when the sun came up, it was scorched. And the other kind was around the thistles and thorns. What happened? They grew up faster and choked out that seed, so it couldn't bear fruit. That's three kinds of soil of people that don't get saved, I believe. And the fourth kind was good soil. And it did produce some 30, some 60, some 100. But it produced.
Yeah,
amen. Well, I'll tell you, I've had people come just like, man, this is the greatest place on earth when I pastored. This is the greatest church there ever was. Man, when I hear that, I think, hold on. Amen? It's not too long I'm visiting them. What's happening? Where are you going? Well, this happened and that happened and this happened and that. You know how it is. You hear all kinds of things. But, you know, when I was in church, you couldn't preach me out of church. I'm sure you're that same way too. Amen? Man, you couldn't preach me out. You could preach me in the altar, but you couldn't preach me out of church.
Amen.
Amen. If I heard something I didn't think was right, I'd go to the Lord and we could take care of it. And he did. Amen. He gave me faith this was the word of God when I was in a church that didn't believe it. Amen.
Amen.
And we were able to stay there and honor and do the work. And then God moved us down to Tifton, Georgia. We helped a fellow there reopen a church. A great blessing. But look down at verse 104. Let me get this closed up here. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, a precept, according to Webster, is an authoritative rule of action. He says, through his precepts we get understanding, through his rules of action. Amen? And 1 John 5, the beginning of verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. So if you're saved, it's available to you. But you have to read your Bible. Amen? You ought to read it every day.
Amen.
You say, how much should I read? I don't have a clue. You ask God. He knows how busy you are and what you're doing. But listen, you neglect his word, you're going to be history. Because that's where faith comes from. Amen? Once you're saved, it doesn't end anything. It all starts. Now you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now you need, you know what our call is from God, to put it very simply, is to show the people out there it's better to be saved than it is to be lost.
Yeah.
That this is the best life there is.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be showing them with God's help. And we know how fallible we are. We understand that. But God isn't.
Amen.
Amen. Then look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding of the simple. That is a key verse as far as I'm concerned, because the entrance is up to us. Amen.
That's right.
Now you know, ladies, you've been married. You know what I'm talking about. You'll be talking away, and then all of a sudden you'll stop and realize the old boy isn't listening to me. And you'll say, "Are you listening to me?" My wife's done that. And I would say, as a good husband, I'd say, "Yeah." What did I say? She always does that. So I have to kind of rack my brain, hear the three or four words I did get in, and try to build a story from there, and I always fail because that's not right. Amen. So anymore, I just give up. No, I wasn't listening. What did you say? And it'll aggravate her, but that's how we men are. Sometimes the brain is just running down a pathway. Amen. And lo and behold, nothing else gets in. Amen. So I don't understand what she said. But when I listen and receive it, then I understand it. That's what he's talking about. You can witness to a person till you're blue in the face. You can force them on their knees. You can make them say a prayer with a gun at their head, and they're not going to get saved. Amen? But if they will receive the word of God, anybody can get saved.
Amen.
That's the key.
Amen?
So what we're looking for is people willing to hear. And again, they don't walk around with a sign on them. So, according to the parable of the sower, what we're supposed to do is sow the whole field. We can't tell what kind of soil it is. Just sow the whole field, and then God will show you the good soil. Because they'll be open, and the Holy Spirit will witness to you. Amen? And boy, what a blessing every now and then to be there when someone prays and gets saved. It's a blessing, and also humbling, because you know God's doing something in your sight. Amen? But the key to the whole thing is that book.
Amen.
Now, imagine this. 6,000 people groups on the face of the earth, and I got this figures from a ministry called First Bible, don't have one word of Scripture in their language. Wow. Now, if they would happen to get saved, how do they grow? How do they have confidence? How do they show the world around them it's better to be saved than it is to be lost, when they're so easily drawn into this and that because they have no anchor, even though they're saved? Amen? So that's why the burden is on a ministry like ours, to get the Word of God out, to produce it and get it to them. And that's why, for your credit, listen, when the brother there gets down there to his home country of Peru, amen, and people get saved, there's a source for Bibles. He may have other sources where he can get Bibles for his people. That's great. Amen? But there's a source. Why? Because somebody gave $20. You know what $20 is? 10 Bibles. That's 10 Bibles. You believe that? You put 10 Bibles in the hand of 10 people, I guarantee you one is going to go in the hand of somebody that wants to know and will read it and be strengthened and have faith and do the work and share the gospel with other people. Amen? I'd say that's a lot. And we like to sing the song, "Little as Much When God Is In It." But listen, I've been around Baptists to know I've not met too many Baptist millionaires. I was in one church one time, said that, and the pastor, when I was going, he said, "By the way, you were preaching to a millionaire today." I said, "Good, don't tell me who it is." There are a few, amen, but most of us are just like this. When I was with the Fellowship Track League, I would open up the mail, and all the time I got letters, and there'd be a check for $5, and it'd say, "I'm on fixed income. I can't do any more. I wish I could." You know something? God can do more of that $5 by faith than all the millionaires in this world. Amen? Amen? I'll close with this. I'm almost ruined to football. I hate to say that because my dad grew up, man, we loved it. Amen? I mean, I'm not ruined because of where I grew up either, because I grew up near Cleveland. If anybody knows anything about football, that's a bad place here. Amen? No, that's not why. I can hardly believe that 60,000 people would spend so much to sit there and watch somebody run a dead pig up and down the road. And every year, listen to me, every year, there's 30, I don't know, 32 teams, something like that. Every year, 31 of the team's people are in depression. Because somebody's got to lose, right? The devil has found out how to depress people.
Yeah.
And spend millions and millions of dollars doing it. Amen? Amen? And I just can't hardly, when I watch it anymore. And when somebody sits down for the national anthem, they ought to throw them out.
Yeah.
Let them go live somewhere else. Amen? Ship them to Russia. See how much they stand up there. I mean, that's my opinion. And I'm not a gun-toting Baptist. Oh, why not? Are you against guns? No, I'm not against them at all. I love them, but I live in a 40-foot trailer with my wife for 45 years. I'm not giving her an opportunity. No gun, amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for this church and their faithfulness and desire to see Bibles in South America. We ask you to bless them. Lord, they're a blessing to us. Now, God, take your word, and I hope it's a help and a blessing to your people. As the pastor comes, close the service, guide him, and the Lord will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, come ahead.
Brother God, 308 in your songbook, Let's Stand. We've heard the message again. God's tugged on your heart. We have an altar. If you're here today and you're not sure, if you don't know that you know that you know that you're headed to heaven, boy, don't leave this service without getting that nailed down. I surrender all. All to Jesus.